ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। आस्ते प्रतीक्षां स्थज्जनमा हरेर्वैरानुबन्धकृत्। Sukadeva Goswami said, deliberating in this way, Kamsa, although determined to continue in enmity toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, refrained from the vicious killing of his sister. He decided to wait. Mahunjana Parayatan Mahim Chindhiyano Rishikesham Apashyatan Mayam Jagat. While sitting on his throne or in his sitting room, while lying in his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere, and while eating, sleeping, or walking, Kamsa only saw his enemy, the Supreme Lord Hrishikesh. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has described the finest pattern of devotional service as Anakulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. For cultivating Krishna consciousness favorably, Kamsa, of course, was also Krishna conscious. But because he regarded Krishna as his enemy, even though he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his Krishna consciousness was not favorable for his existence. Krishna consciousness favorably cultivated makes one completely happy, so much so that a Krishna conscious person does not consider kaivalya sukham, or merging into the existence of Krishna, to be a great gain. Kaivalyam narakayate. For a Krishna conscious person, even merging into the existence of Krishna or Brahman, as impersonalists aspire to do, is uncomfortable. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasha pur akasha pushpayate. Karmis hanker to be promoted to the heavenly planets, but a Krishna conscious person considers such promotion to a will-o'-the-wisp, good for nothing. Durdantendriya kala sarapapatali prothata damstrayate. Yogis try to control their senses and thus become happy, but a Krishna conscious person neglects the methods of yoga. He is unconcerned with the enemies, even the greatest enemies, the senses, which are compared to snakes. For a Krishna conscious person who is cultivating Krishna consciousness favorably, the happiness conceived by the karmis, jnanis, and yogis is treated as less than a fig. Kamsa, however, because of cultivating Krishna consciousness in another way, that is, inimically, was uncomfortable in all the affairs of his life. Whether sitting, sleeping, walking, or eating, he was always in danger. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee or atheist also cultivates God consciousness by trying to avoid God in everything. For example, so-called scientists who want to create life by a combination of chemicals regard the external material elements as supreme. Such scientists do not like the idea that life is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. As clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamayavamso Jivaloke Jivabhuta, the living entities do not arise from a combination of material elements, such as earth, water, air, and fire, but are separated portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one can understand the position of the living entity as a separated portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, By studying the nature of the living entity, one can understand the nature of the Supreme Godhead. Since the living entity is a fragmental sample of the Godhead, but because atheists are not interested in God consciousness, they try to be happy by cultivating Krishna consciousness in various unfavorable ways. Although Kamsa was always absorbed in thoughts of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was not happy. A devotee, however, whether sitting on a throne or beneath a tree, is always happy. Srila Rupa Goswami resigned from office as a government minister to sit beneath a tree. Yet he was happy. Tyaktva turanam ashesha mandala pati srinim sadatu chavat. He did not care for his comfortable position as minister. He was happy even beneath a tree in Vrindavan, favorably serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. For a non-devotee, the world is full of problems, whereas for a devotee, the entire world is full of happiness. Vishwam purana sukhayate vidhi mahendradis chakitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhava vatam tam gauram evastuma. This comfortable position of a devotee can be established by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yasmin stito na dukena gurunapi vichalyate. Even when a devotee is superficially put into great difficulty, he is never disturbed. Translation. While sitting on his throne or sitting in his room, while lying on his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere, and while eating, sleeping, or walking, Kamsa saw only his enemy, the Supreme Lord, Hrishikesh. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. Line 2. Example of a great demon was incessantly in all of his words and activities against the interest of the Lord and his devotees. Out of fear, he is in constant remembrance of Krishna. And in this way, he is becoming purified. It is a gradual process of purification, but Krishna, like the sun, purifies anything he comes in contact with. It is said that even when an animal passes stool onto the ground, the sun in contact never becomes contaminated, but rather purifies even that what is considered a filthy object. So it is said, Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabayabhyantara suchi. That one is, whether one is purified or unpurified, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed personality of Godhead becomes purified within and without. In the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, a similar subject is discussed between Narada Muni and Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira, doing the Rajasuya sacrifice, he selected for the Agra Puja Lord Sri Krishna. Agra Puja means, before beginning this greatest of all sacrifices, the most important, the most celebrated person in the whole world is to be glorified. So of course, Maharaj Yudhisthira, being a great Vaishnava, he chose Lord Krishna. And there was elaborate arrangements to worship him and adore him. And everyone in the assembly was very pleased, very happy to see Lord Sri Krishna being worshipped. Except Shishupal. Shishupal was a lifelong enemy of Sri Krishna. From his very birth, he had within his heart utmost enmity toward Krishna. And therefore, throughout his life, it was unbearable for him to see Krishna being given credit for anything. For someone who is envious of another, it is a very deep, great pain to the heart to see that other person successful or getting credit, being appreciated. What to speak of surpassing yourself, very painful to the heart. This is the nature of envy. So Shishupal was filled with envy for Krishna. And it is described that when Krishna was selected in his presence to work, to receive the Agra Puja, Shishupal became so much infuriated that he just started blaspheming Krishna, one accusation against another after another after another. And it is described that Bhima and many of the others, they wanted to just kill this rascal. They could not tolerate hearing Krishna being misused with these unkind words. But Krishna, not wanting any of them to be incriminated in Shishupal's activities, and because Krishna had a higher plan for Shishupal, he told all of his devotees to tolerate. And Shishupal went on and on until, alas, he went beyond the limit of what he was ordained to say. And at that time, Krishna called upon his Sudarshan Chakra, and he severed the head from the body of Shishupal. And everyone was thinking, how wonderful. This demon, this rascal, this envious fool has been killed. Perhaps they were thinking, let him go to hell now for what he has done and said to Krishna throughout his life. But before everyone's eyes, a most miraculous event took place. They saw the Jivatma, the soul, from the body of Shishupal come out from his form, brilliant like the sun. It soared into the air and then merged into the very heart of Sri Krishna. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was asking Narada Muni, that means he attained liberation. Why such a rascal, such a sinful demon as Shishupal attained liberation? And Narada Muni explained that it was because he was constantly immersed in the thought of Krishna. Day and night, he could not forget Krishna. And although he was suffering due to his envy throughout his life, still, because the subject of his envy was Krishna, he became purified. And ultimately, Krishna himself, reciprocating with the way he was approaching him, so kindly and mercifully killed him. Krishna says in Gita, Ye yathamam prabhajyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham mamavartmanuvartante manusya parata saravasha. As one surrenders to me, I reward him accordingly. Because he was thinking of Krishna with enmity, he was destined to have a violent death. But because he saw in his life Krishna as death personified, he was always thinking of Krishna in this way, that he's death personified. Very similar to Kamsa. You see, when Shishupal was born, he had 3 eyes and 4 arms. But not like the 4 arms of Narayan. He looked very much like a misfit. So it was told to his mother, and he also learned this, that when the person who is going to kill him stands before him, one of his eyes will close and 2 of his arms will fade. Now Krishna was his own cousin, a family member. And when Krishna came before Shishupal, 2 of those arms faded and the eye disappeared, the extra eye. So it was known to the mother, to Shishupal, and to everyone that Krishna was going to be the one that kills him. So the mother begged Krishna, please, please, you are, he is our family member, he is your cousin, please do not kill him. And Krishna said, he will always be envious of me because he knows that I am death for him. So he will criticize me continuously. As long as he doesn't go beyond 100 blasphemies without stop, I will tolerate. But if he goes beyond that, I will destroy him. So Shishupal, the first words out of his mouth was blasphemy of Krishna, when he was just a baby child. And that was practically all he spoke throughout his life. He was obsessed with defaming Krishna's character because he saw that Krishna was death personified. He knew that Krishna would be the cause of his death, so he was always thinking of Krishna in great fear as death. So Krishna reciprocates as we approach him. Why did Krishna not allow Bhima or anyone else to kill? Because this person was always thinking of Krishna as his cruel death. So Krishna rewarded him just according to his consciousness. And he appeared before Shishupal as his cruel death. Similarly, we are reading about Kamsa. Of course, Narada Muni was explaining out of his great, great humility to Maharaj Yudhisthira that Shishupal was so engrossed in Krishna, 24 hours a day, out of fear, he could not forget Krishna. He couldn't take his mind off Krishna, even if he tried. Narada Muni said, such an exalted state of consciousness, I wish I could be like that. Even myself, the intensity of my remembrance of Krishna is not comparable to Shishupal. How Krishna is so kind that anyone who thinks of him, favorably or unfavorable, will become purified. And Kamsa, in a similar way, on the chariot, was given the omen from the sky that the 8th son of Devaki will be the cause of your death. And when he found out that that 8th son, he knew that that 8th son was Vishnu. Therefore, from the time of that omen, 24 hours a day, he was simply thinking of Vishnu, trying to find where he is manifesting. So I must kill him, I must destroy him, I must blaspheme him. He is death personified to me. And when Narada Muni explained that Krishna is that Vishnu, it is explained here that Kamsa was simply thinking of the form and the name of Krishna 24 hours a day. He could hardly eat. He could hardly sleep. He would dream of Krishna. Nightmares. Whoever he was talking to, whoever he was seeing, in the forefront of his mind, he was simply fearing that death will come in the form of Krishna. And actually, in order to reciprocate with the form of his meditation, Krishna personally came to kill him. If you want to see God as death personified, God will come to you as death personified. If you want to see God as the beautiful transcendental flute player of Braja Dham, then Krishna will reveal himself in his form of Shyam Sundar and attract your mind and attract your heart. In fact, even Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say that the demons who are very much against our movement, they are really, in many ways, better off than people who are not concerned with our movement. There was one person, he was a deprogrammer. His business was trying to steal devotees and forcibly get them away from Krishna consciousness. But he'd be on television, on radios, in newspapers, and magazines. He was always talking against Krishna. And Prabhupada said he is like Kamsa. He cannot forget Krishna. He's so afraid of Krishna. Day and night, he's thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna. He said ultimately Krishna will kill him. And he will become a devotee in his next life. He's going to have to suffer for all his offenses. Kamsa had to suffer being beaten by Krishna's fist, which was obviously very painful. But through that suffering, he atoned for the offenses that he committed and all the remembrance that he had in their process brought him to the liberated state. So these demons, they're going to have to suffer terribly for their offenses. But at the same time, because of their constant immersion in Krishna's thought, after they go through that suffering, they will become devotees. So in this way, they are much better off than someone who is complacent. And here Prabhupada is quoting Srila Rupa Goswami that there is a great difference between the devotion of Kamsa and the devotion of the Lord's devotees. One is favorable and one is unfavorable. Although both are becoming purified, one will find in his Krishna consciousness great happiness, great bliss. And one, because he's pleasing Krishna, will very rapidly make spiritual advancement. Now, how does this pertain to us in our personal, individual lives as devotees? Of course, hopefully none of us in this assembly today are demons. Everyone is devotee, trying to favorably serve the Lord. But what is your attitude when you're rendering service to the Lord? Srila Prabhupada explains that favorable devotional service means that in a positive service attitude, you are thinking of Krishna. That brings bliss. Why devotees sometimes become depressed? Why they become morose? Why sometimes devotees feel a sense of hopelessness and loneliness in their life? Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. Do not blame anyone else. Because you are approaching Krishna, even though you may be doing your service, you may be coming to the classes, and you may be chanting the holy names, If you are doing it in an unfavorable devotional spirit, then you will not experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness. If we are performing our service with all sorts of expectations of what we will get in return, or what type of recognition we will gain, then we are not serving Krishna in a positive service attitude. That's not service. Your consciousness is selfish. Therefore, even though you're rendering devotional service, you're gradually going to be purified, but in the process, you're going to be miserable. And the purification is very gradual. If we're serving Krishna because we have to, then Krishna's going to reveal himself accordingly. Your devotional service is going to be nothing but hard labor for you. You're not going to taste anything except hard labor. If devotees only find joy in what they like to do, they won't even find joy really in any devotional service. Because the joy is in the service attitude, it's not in the activity itself. Even if a devotee is asked to do what the last thing in the world that devotee has any inclination for, if he simply does it with enthusiasm because this is what my guru and Krishna wants, and simply does it with a positive attitude, just see my good fortune, I'm allowed to do this nice service. My guru is giving me such nice attention. The Vaishnavas are giving me such special mercy that they're thinking of me and allowing me to do this for them. So let me, I may not be very good, I may not be inclined, but let me just work hard and do it the best I can for Krishna. If that's your attitude, you will have, Krishna will reveal himself in that service. You'll experience ecstasy in that service. But if you're seeing devotional service as something mundane, something I like or don't like, something, some object of the senses and the mind, then Krishna is going to reveal himself through your service as nothing but an object of the senses and the mind. It's going to be boring. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be painful. It's not that this service or that service is going to make you happy or sad. It's your consciousness, whether you have the spirit of being a servant. A devotee in his Krishna consciousness is not expecting this or that. He's simply grateful that I'm allowed to be in the association of devotees and I'm allowed to render service. If you have this consciousness, then you will experience ultimate joy in everything you do in Krishna consciousness. If you have any other consciousness, you're going to suffer. To some extent, you're going to be like Kamsa. You're thinking of Krishna. You're doing things in relationship to Krishna. But your whole attitude is negative. It's stubborn. It's not to surrender. It's to enjoy. If you approach Krishna consciousness with the desire to enjoy, you're going to suffer. You're going to get purified little by little, but you're going to suffer through that purification. But if you approach Krishna consciousness with the spirit of being a servant, then there's, Prabhupada is explaining here in the purport, that the entire world is full of happiness. There's nothing that can depress you. You're seeing an opportunity in every situation. You're graciously accepting the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada says, even when a devotee is superficially put into great difficulty, he is never disturbed. So one may think, well, maybe after 50 years of being a devotee and chanting Hare Krishna, maybe I'll become like that. But even after 50 lifetimes, you'll never become like that unless right now you decide to have the proper service attitude. It's not something that takes time. It's something that simply takes endeavoring in the proper spirit. Whatever I feel like, this is for Krishna. So let me do it joyfully for Him. Let me do it enthusiastically for Him. Let me do it in a thankful heart for Him. That consciousness is Krishna consciousness. That is favorable devotional service. When someone asks us, can you perform arti? Can you dress the deities? Can you cook? Can you help with the orphanage? Can you go on Sankirtan? If you want to be miserable, think, oh, I don't like to do that. I'd rather be doing this. I'm tired. It's too much trouble. But then you do it. That service is only going to be suffering for you. But you do have the power to control your mind and think, oh, such a wonderful opportunity. This is what my Guru and Krishna wants. Let me put aside my own mind. Let me just do it for Him. And let me do it to serve Him and do it nicely and do it enthusiastically. If you do that, Krishna will reveal Himself through your service. The best service is the service we don't like. Because if you surrender to that, Krishna will reveal Himself most through that. The service that you do like, oftentimes you're doing it for your own enjoyment. So Krishna will not reveal Himself so rapidly through that service. Krishna reveals Himself, He says, as you surrender to Him. So therefore, Krishna consciousness means we must have a very positive attitude. Otherwise, we're not following the process. During kirtan, we're dancing and chanting for Krishna. Standing, looking morose, or being lazy, you think that's pleasurable to Krishna? That means you're just coming to the kirtan with a selfish desire to enjoy Krishna's name, to exploit Krishna's name for your sense gratification. Rather than coming as a servant. If you come as a servant, it doesn't matter how you feel. You dance joyfully to give Krishna joy. You smile to make Krishna smile. You chant with great devotion for Krishna's pleasure, for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas, for the pleasure of your spiritual master. This is Krishna consciousness. And in this condition, we are transcendental. And the purification that takes place, Rupa Goswami says, through such favorable, positive spirit of service and devotional life is very fast, very rapid. Krishna reveals Himself most benevolently to such a devotee. Everything is based on our desire. If our desire is to serve Krishna, we will see Krishna. If our desire is sense gratification, we're going to see everything, even devotional service, in terms of our sense gratification. And what does that mean? Even in our devotional service, we're simply going to be hankering for something else and lamenting when that thing disappoints us. Just like everything else in this material world. So do not allow Maya to bewilder your consciousness. Every moment of this human form of life is so valuable. We only may have one or two days to live. Let's not wait for this positive attitude to come about through some mystical process of time. The time is now. Let us reconfirm our vows to Guru and Gauranga and everything about Krishna's loving service, everything in relationship to our guru, to the Vaishnavas, to the deities, and to the holy name. Let us approach in a very positive, selfless, serving attitude. Let us do it as a sacrifice, not for the purpose of our own foolish enjoyment. Devotional service is not a sense object. Devotional service is transcendental. If we approach it only in a service attitude, can we perceive the transcendental nature of devotional service? Without a submissive service attitude, we'll see everything as being material. Therefore, this is the key and the secret to all success in Krishna consciousness. Submissive service attitude in whatever we do. And every one of us has the power to endeavor in that way. And then we will find great joy and bliss in Krishna consciousness. And then we'll be able to make other people joyful and blissful. Otherwise, we simply put the burden in our own mind of our own material conception, and through that process we've just become a burden in the association of all the other Vaishnavas and whoever we come in contact with. We simply become a burden. Is that the way we want to waste our life? Here we are in the most precious position of the spiritual world, where everything is being given to us to perfect our life and go back to Godhead and do the greatest service for all others. We should be so grateful. And with this submissive service attitude, we should approach 24 hours of our life. And then Krishna will reveal himself as our ever well-wishing friend and Lord. Is there any questions?
Do it better. If he does that service, everybody else will be more enthused. Is there a mentality?
That is all right. But if you're asked to do it anyway, if you morose over it, if you're thinking, why do I have to do this? Somebody else could do it better. Then that is the wrong attitude. You're being given an opportunity to surrender and become purified and become joyful, but you're throwing it away. And then you're doing your service, but in your service you're really wasting your time, because in your service you're not in a devotional spirit. Devotional service is not just the acts of what you do, but the consciousness in which you do it. What that means is when you're doing something you like to do, you're going to be thinking of how I enjoy this. And when you do something you don't like to do, you're thinking how I don't enjoy this. But the transcendental platform that the spiritual master is trying to bring us on is for Krishna's enjoyment. Whether you do it good or bad, it doesn't matter. For a neophyte devotee, the Guru Maharaj tries to engage according to the propensity, but really, that's very temporary, because the mind is always changing. The mind doesn't really have a propensity for the same thing from one minute to the next, right? Even if it's just what you like to do, and sometimes you're not going to like to do it. Does that mean your propensity is at this moment is something else, and at the next moment it's something else? Then you just become the slave of your mind and senses, accepting and rejecting. Surrender means to trust. The guru knows your propensity better than you do. He knows how you can best serve and how you can make spiritual advancement better than you do. And ultimately, the representatives of the guru, if they are, with all things into consideration, giving a person a particular service that you may not think is your propensity, you have to understand that it's the will of God. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. We can easily say, oh, it's mismanagement. But if you're under the internal potency, it's Krishna's management. This is what he wants you to do. This is how he feels you can best be purified. So if we think that, yes, somebody else can serve the devotees better by doing it, we can make our appeal. But ultimately, we should be willing to do whatever Krishna wants and do it the best we can. This whole movement is the internal potency. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This is the internal potency. You are under the internal potency. If you simply cooperate and surrender to what Krishna is expecting of you within his great movement. There's nothing really to think about. Maya, the external potency, is trying to convince you not to surrender. And the internal potency is trying to convince you to surrender. Right? So this whole movement is trying to convince you to surrender. But whatever thoughts within your mind are trying to take your mind away from that surrender, that is the external potency. Yes? You should not feel different. You should perform your service with a positive, joyful, grateful attitude, whatever it is. You shouldn't be averse to liking or not liking. Just like if you go into a restaurant, the waitress, even if she feels terrible, she has to smile and say, oh, have a nice day, so happy you've come. Huh? If she says, I feel lousy today and I can't tolerate you, the way you look and I wish you didn't come, she'd get fired, right? She has to say, oh, such a wonderful day, and I'm so happy to see you. Why? Because it's her service. She has to have a positive approach, because that's her service, to make people happy. Isn't that her service? To make people happy when they come in. So that's our service, to make Krishna happy. If we're not doing our service in a happy mood, at least appearing happy, and trying to appear happy for Krishna, for the Guru, and for the Vaishnavas in whatever we do, then we're not really in a service attitude. We're just thinking in terms of our own body and mind and senses. So it doesn't matter whether we like it or don't like it. The question is, what does Krishna like? That is surrender. Surrender doesn't mean to do what you like for Krishna. Surrender means to do what Krishna likes for Krishna. It's the spiritual master's service to decide what our propensity is, not ours. We're supposed to surrender. This is a great misconception, that a devotee should decide what my propensity is and do that. Forget your propensity. It's your authority's decision to make. Your only concern should be to surrender. To forget all these stupid, foolish ideas of propensity and just surrender. And the temple president, the sannyasi, the guru, whoever it is that's over you, it's his business to think about what your propensity is. Not yours. If you start thinking in terms of that, you'll never make proper advancement. Huh? If you start thinking in terms of what is my propensity, then you're just going to be accepting and rejecting on the mental platform.
right? Therefore, just surrender. Surrender with a positive, service, submissive attitude. Then you'll find bliss and happiness and love and Krishna consciousness. Yes?
On one hand, Kamsa became the greatest Vaishnava, and all his life he has been blasting the Lord's devotees. To that extent, even to Vasudeva was a pure devotee. On the other hand, he got a liberation in the same life without any suffering also.
How can you say without suffering? His whole life was suffering. Every moment of the day he was suffering beyond comparison. Do you think right now what we're reading today, when he's sitting, when he's walking, when he's talking, he's just thinking of Krishna? But that thought of Krishna is causing him mortal agony. He couldn't sleep at night. He was in so much pain mentally thinking of Krishna. Huh? Because he was thinking unfavorably of Krishna, he was becoming purified, but it was a torturous condition. So similarly for a devotee, when we're doing our service unfavorably, we're getting purified, but it's nothing but torture for us. Huh? He suffered more than you can possibly comprehend, mentally. And in the end, Krishna with his mighty fist was pounding against his face. That was also torturous. So because of his unfavorability, he suffered beyond imagination.